I want to welcome you back to our series, Rooted in the Book of Romans. We have been looking in the Book of Romans now for several months, and I think of Romans in many categories. It's a great book, but one of the things about the Book of Romans that strikes me is it is a book of invitation. It is a book of invitation, and it so clearly calls us to the invitation of the gospel and what the meaning of the gospel is, that God can change hearts and change lives through the power of His Word. This book reminds us of the role also of every believer and every Christian in the body of Christ to be a part of that call of salvation around the world. Romans reminds us that God calls every Christian to be a part of the lives of the people around them and encourage them and invite them and have an opportunity to be a witness for Christ for those around the world. That's been our focus the last couple of weeks within this series of Romans, and our key scripture has been how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That wonderful scripture tells us that God blesses, and God is blessed by those that have in their hearts and the desire to see people come to know who Jesus is. God calls every Christian to be a part of inviting people to Jesus. And every Christian has an opportunity to do that. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, no matter where you live, a student, you're working, you're retired, you have the privilege and opportunity to have an influence in the lives of a certain number of people around you. We all have 24 hours a day. We all have opportunities that we interact with people. And God calls us to be willing and to be available to be witnesses for Him. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I know that God wants to use a lot of beautiful feet right here in Mifflinburg. A lot of people in Mifflinburg that God wants to touch. And I believe through His church, through the body of Christ, He wants to see people come to know who He is. And we have a great opportunity. Jesus said in John chapter 4, "Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? But I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are white and ripe unto harvest," one translation says. Jesus tells us that now is the time. Now is the time to look out and see the people that need Jesus and care about them and love them. You've heard me talk about, if you've been here the last 2 weeks, about Dr. Billy Graham. Dr. Billy Graham will turn 95 years old in November, if he lives that long. And Dr. Billy Graham has challenged American Christians to join him in what he kind of foresees as his last major effort to share the gospel. And he's preparing to preach and using some of his past words and preparing a message to be broadcast across our country the first Thursday evening in November on his 95th birthday. And he's invited the churches of America and inviting Christians to look ahead to that time and invite people into their home if they have that opportunity, or to build bridges of relationship with people and invite them to come and listen to that message about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Dr. Billy Graham has called the church in America to be concerned about people. And I've challenged our church to be a part of that. And I've challenged our church family for I've called it a 6-month challenge. And asking our people if they would give focus especially and pray that God would show them how they can have an influence in the lives of people in their circle of influence. A 6-month challenge for this church to pray for and to seek God's heart about how we can witness for Him in the circle of influence around us. Last Sunday, I invited our church family to make a commitment. If you're here, you know about that. I invited our church family to open their heart and their homes and other avenues and make a pledge, make a promise that they would give themselves to reach out to the people in the circle of their lives. We've talked about 2 weeks ago, following the example of a man named Matthew. Jesus came by one day and found a man who was working. He was a tax collector, and Jesus called him, and he got up immediately and followed Jesus. And the next thing we know about Matthew is he invited people to come to his home where they could meet Jesus. And so I challenged our church family, would you be willing to be a Matthew? Would you be willing to look out at the people in your lives and invite them to meet Jesus? Following the example of Matthew, he invited his friends and neighbors, and they came and they met Jesus, and next thing you know, lives were changed. And so I invited our church family to be a Matthew. Last Sunday morning, I gave you an opportunity to promise to be a Matthew, to ask that God would help you to be a Matthew, and gave you some specific ways that you could do that. The first one was to develop a prayer list of people to pray for and say, God, who in my life, what one or two or three or four or five people in my life can I begin to pray for and ask that you would show me how I can build a bridge of relationship with them and bring them to Jesus and share with them. And I gave those out, and over 100 people responded last Sunday. I say, praise God, my desk has a pile of those cards on them. 104, 108 or so people filled that card out and said, yes, I will begin to pray for these people in my circle of influence, and I will pray that God will open a door, an opportunity for me to build a bridge of relationship and friendship and an opportunity to be a witness in their lives. And over the next couple of months, we're going to talk about a lot of different ways that God can help you to build a relationship and be able to share with them and invite them, perhaps to invite them to your home on November the 7th and watch this special 30-minute broadcast that Billy Graham has put together from his life and the call of the gospel, and many other ways that God would open the door for you. All of us are different. We're going to have different stories, but if we seek and we pray to be used of God, I know God's going to open the door for you. And if you're sincere in your heart and you seek, how can God use me in the life of someone around me, I know that God will give you that opportunity to do that. And so I just want to say thank you to those that are willing to be a Matthew, and others may want to find a card and fill that out. Again, it's a prayer card. The first step is to pray for. I invite you to do that. If you are willing to be a Matthew, this is what the first thing is, you're asking God to show you some people that you can pray for. So you're beginning to open your eyes and say, there are people in my life that I know need Jesus, and I want to spend time and care about them and pray for them and write their name down, and then look for an opportunity to begin to build a bridge of relationship with them. To become a Matthew is to look for an opportunity to see people as Jesus does, making the most of an opportunity. When we love people and care people, we must, as we saw in the story with Jesus, He made the most of an opportunity. He was willing to look out and see the needs around Him. Every time Jesus encountered a need, He saw it as an opportunity to love and to care for someone. And also then Jesus always saw people with compassion. If you want to make a difference in someone's life for God, you must see them with compassion like Jesus did. That means looking at people with patience, looking with people through eyes that are different than sometimes when we're busy and we're occupied and we already have our agenda. But God wants us to have a great compassion for people. And then taking the time to show the care and the love that someone is important to us. Now, you can see the needs of people and you can know that they need the Lord, but unless you take time out of your life and out of your schedule to reach out and show them that care, then they'll never know that care and compassion that you have. You must take time. And Jesus always had time. Every time He encountered someone, there's not a story in the New Testament where Jesus did not encounter someone with a need that He didn't take time to care for them. And so I want to encourage you to be a Matthew. Make the most of an opportunity with great compassion and taking time. And then finally, to be a Matthew, to speak the truth in love. That's what people need. They need God's truth. They need it in love. They need it with a caring and a kind and a sincere heart. It's amazing what genuine caring people, the difference that you can make in someone's life. When they know you really care about them and they know that you love them, you can make a great difference in your life. Again, I want to invite you to be a Matthew and pray for each of these things. In our Bible story this morning that I want us to read together and look at, I believe all four of these things are found in Jesus. As I read this story from Luke chapter 7, I want to invite you to look at these qualities of Jesus and how does Jesus fulfill this idea of being a Matthew, and what does Jesus do? Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And I want you to notice how Jesus makes the most of an opportunity, how Jesus shows great compassion, how Jesus took the time to care for someone, and how He spoke the truth in love. And it made such a difference in the life of this woman. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Maybe I'll ask you to stand as we read this story together. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. She is a sinner." Then Jesus said to him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them would love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you how her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Thank you. You may be seated. The story this morning involves three people. The first that I want to start with begins with this Pharisee. His name was Simon. Jesus must have known who he is. He calls him by name, and likely Jesus probably had seen Simon many times, maybe answered his questions, maybe they had interacted many times. There were many Pharisees that Jesus interacted with during His day. Jesus would have been around the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and all of the Jewish leaders as well as the common everyday people. And so we read a lot of stories about how Jesus interacted with the Pharisees. Unfortunately, many of those stories that we read about Pharisees aren't very pleasant, and they don't paint the Pharisees in a very favorable light. There were many that interacted with Jesus. Some of them were self-centered and some of them were judgmental, and I'm sure some of them were good people. And here, this man, Simon, seems to come to Jesus and he seems to have a question for Jesus. Simon seems to have a deep interest in Jesus, and so he invited Jesus and other guests to come to dinner. Our theme over the last two Sundays have been how we can invite people and we can have kind of an invitational type heart that draws people into our world and shows love and care. And 2 weeks ago, our story was about Matthew, who invited people to dinner. And kind of the same thing happens here, that here in this story, this Pharisee named Simon invites Jesus to dinner. I believe that Simon wanted to understand who Jesus was. He had heard a lot of perplexing things that Jesus had said, and he wasn't too sure what to think. And so I believe that he wanted to understand Jesus more. Simon also, we know, had a very strong sense of right and wrong. Now that would be what you would think for a Pharisee. Most Pharisees had a sense of right and wrong. In fact, they had gotten to the position that they were because they honored the law. They knew what the law of Moses was, and the Pharisees were known to want to keep it exactly. And not only did they want to keep it exactly, but they also had the tendency to watch other people and see if they kept it exactly. And so Simon the Pharisee, he would have known the law of Moses. He would have known all the traditions, and he had this strong sense of right and wrong, as I hope many Christians do. I mean, I would even say I hope Nazarenes have a strong sense of right and wrong. God does give us great principles to live by and great things to take in and incorporate into our minds and our hearts and our spirits. God's people should have strong convictions. What they are and how they live them out, Jesus teaches us about in this story. Well, this Pharisee had this strong sense of right and wrong. But what Simon really needed, and Jesus understood, that Simon needed something else. Simon needed to understand what grace was. Simon needed to understand what God could do in the life of someone who came to him. Simon needed to understand what grace was, and he wasn't too sure he understood. Verse 39 says, When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. In this story, we see this Pharisee. His name is Simon. We don't know a lot about him, but we know that when he sees this woman come in that has this reputation, I mean, he knows all about this woman and her past, and she comes in and she falls right down at Jesus' feet and starts touching him and putting her hands all over his feet and pouring this oil on his head. And his reaction, well, he had a question about that. It says he... It does say, interesting to me, it doesn't say like in some other stories where they question Jesus. It just says that he thought about this. Now I imagine, how did Jesus know that? I mean, this woman comes in and this Pharisee who has this wonderful banquet prepared and all these people are here. And you can just see, I imagine, the look on his face as this woman comes in, this woman with a reputation, this woman who everybody knows this woman. And yet when he saw him, it says in verse 39, he said to himself, he started thinking about it. Now, this just doesn't make sense. This isn't what I expect of Jesus. I mean, he might can't help it that this woman kind of barged into the party and just kind of took over. But it was the reaction of Jesus that this man could not quite understand. Why would Jesus do this? Doesn't he understand who this is? Doesn't he understand the kind of woman? You see, this woman had a reputation. She was a woman that was known by everybody in town as not being a very good woman and having a past and all those things. And all of a sudden, this Pharisee is confronted with this image of Jesus that he hasn't expected. We know that she has a reputation. We know that she has come to Jesus. For some reason, what she did certainly surprised Simon, maybe confused him. I don't know necessarily that Simon was malicious here. I'm not sure about the motive of his heart, but I know that this woman coming in and doing this did not fit into his comfort zone. It didn't really fit kind of the austerity kind of sense that he had of how people should separate themselves from those that are unclean or from the sinner. And I notice in this story that Jesus has something to teach to Simon. We know that this woman had a reputation. We know that she came to Jesus. We know that she was overwhelmed with a thankful heart. I mean, she just kind of got down and poured herself out on Jesus. She wept, it says, and Jesus saw her tears and felt her tears as tears of thankfulness of what Jesus had done for her and how Jesus viewed her and how Jesus treated her. Jesus gives us a great example of how we should look at and see people that are hurting and have messed up and have a reputation. The kind of compassion that God wants us to have is found in this story of Jesus. She was overwhelmed with thanks. We also know in this story that she gave what she had. I mean, she brought this alabaster box, would have been probably a very expensive stone box and cut out and carved. And it would have been a very precious gift for her to give. She gave what she had in order to be thankful for Jesus. And so when I look at Simon and I look at this woman in this story, the question that comes to my mind is why is it in the Bible? What does God want us to see from it? And we see in these words that Jesus had something that he wanted to teach Simon. It says in verse 40, Jesus answered him, although Simon didn't audibly ask the question, Jesus knew what he was thinking about and struggling with. Verse 40 says, Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. And so the question for me is, are we going to be teachable when Jesus talks? Was Simon going to be teachable? Is he going to hear from the heart of God as Jesus begins to teach him? Would he be teachable? Could he learn what Jesus wanted him to learn? Jesus always taught when he worked his miracles. He always taught when he loved people. When he taught, he was always teaching his disciples. And in this story also, I can just see Jesus saying, Simon, I want you to learn something here. There's something about teachability that I think is so important in this story. And Simon seems to get it because at the end of verse 40, he says, tell me, teacher, he said. Tell me, teacher, he said. I wonder, do we have that open, kind of humble readiness when God wants to speak to us that we can hear Him? Even when He challenges something that we're used to hearing? Are we teachable like Simon was? Tell me, teacher. Jesus says, I have something to show you if you're just willing to listen. Something in this story. Teachability is a great value. If you want to have the heart of God and you want God to see your heart, if you want God to have you, teachability is so important. As we go through this series and talk about being a Matthew and talking about having compassion for people and having eyes to see needs, I just want to say how important it is that we go through this time with a teachable spirit. We're saying, God, what do you want to say to me today? You see, Simon had all the law and the prophets, and he probably had the best teaching in Jerusalem. He had the greatest law people there. But there was something lacking in Simon. There was something that he needed yet. And so he came to that place, and as Jesus began to teach him, Simon began to listen and respond. Tell me, teacher, what is it that you want me to learn and you want me to hear from this? And so Jesus did teach something to Simon. I believe not only did Jesus teach Simon something, but Jesus taught this woman something. And also I believe that Jesus teaches us something. The first thing I noticed from what Jesus taught here, first of all, is that Jesus will eat anywhere and with anyone. When I think of this story, I think, well, what was Jesus saying in this story? Well, He was saying that He'll go anywhere to eat. I mean, we know that He went with Matthew and He went with this man named Simon, and He didn't care who came. He just reached out and cared for him. In other words, He showed this inclusive ability to care for people no matter who they were. You remember what it was said of Jesus that we read before? He's even been called a friend of sinners. You know, He was accused of a lot of things. You know, you go and you eat with sinners, and you know, you go and you drink with wine bibbers, and you're with women that have a past and all that stuff. And you know, to all those things, what does Jesus say? That's me. It's exactly who I am and why I came. That's why I'm here, to care for people that are hurting and are lost. So everyone that accused Jesus of being a friend of sinners, what did Jesus say? He said, yeah, and that's what you need to learn of me. That's who I am. That's my heart. Sometimes we can kind of classify people one way or another. Either they're ones that are where they should be and where they're not, and we don't have quite as much patience with those that are not. But we need to be reminded of who Jesus' target audience always was. It was people with needs, and He reached out to them with great love and compassion. Sometimes Christians can have such a strong sense of right and wrong that it tends to affect our ability sometimes to be a friend to sinners. But Jesus reminds us that He was able and willing always to reach out and care for anyone, for everyone. Sometimes we can get the sense that, you know, well, what will people think? Or, well, they think I approve of what they do if I spend time with them, or I invite them to my house, or I take them out to dinner, or whatever I do with them. And, well, will people think that, what will they think about me, you know? Jesus never worried about that. He just loved people. That's the example I see in this story. He had such a love and compassion for people that He calls us to. Jesus loved freely. He did know this woman's reputation. It's not like Jesus was surprised by this, but that didn't scare Him away. Also notice in this story, and what I believe Jesus teaches to us, is Jesus also teaches us that only God really can know the heart of man. Only God can know our heart. Only God can know the hearts of people around us. You know, only God, only Jesus really could understand where Simon was and what his strengths were, his weaknesses were, and where, you know, he is real strong, and yet where Simon had something that he needed to learn. Jesus understood the heart of Simon. Jesus also understood this woman who brought this offering. I think of other stories, and I think of John chapter 8 and the woman who was caught in adultery, and in that case where the Pharisees came and threw the woman down in front of Jesus and wanted Jesus to say something so they would stone her, and everybody would see how harsh Jesus was. And what did Jesus do? He looked at that woman and He saw her heart. He knew her heart. I'm reminded that only God really knows the heart of people. We may think we know the heart of people. We may think we know motives, but this story reminds us that God is the one that knows our hearts. Sometimes we might think that we do, but we know that we know the whole story, but truly God only knows the heart of every person. And so Jesus would say to Simon, and he would say to us, be careful then how you judge. Or maybe like Simon, you can end up missing it. You may miss the opportunity of ministry. You may miss the opportunity for someone to respond to the grace and the love of God because you put them in a box and you put them in a corner and you decided already about who they are. But the truth is, only God knows our hearts. Simon, Jesus said, I have something to tell you. Would he be teachable? Will you be teachable? Jesus knows your heart. Jesus knows the heart of the people in your circle of influence. Those people that God may allow to be on your list. Maybe that God's going to remind you of. Maybe, guys, when you go to school next week, sorry it starts next week, but for some of you. But, you know, when you go to school, maybe God's going to put somebody on your heart in that hallway or in that classroom. And you may think you already know them completely and you know where they're at. But the truth is, only God does. And God can help you to understand who they are if you show time and you show care and you reach out to people. What about that person at work, that person that's hard to work with, that person that maybe you've known for a long time, but really you haven't known. Maybe you think you do, but God can give you a heart to see past that. He can do for you what He did for Simon. He can show you something that you've never understood before because God can understand the heart. That's what we need to ask God to do for us. Simon, I have something to tell you. Will you be teachable? He knew this woman's heart. He also saw her tears. I think in this story especially, how evident it is that God knew her sincerity. Sometimes we think we know whether somebody's sincere or not, and we can be right and we can be wrong. But Jesus understood and knew exactly where she was at. He understood, He measured that, and then He accepted her gift and His words of compassion for this woman. He says to Simon, you see, I came into your house and you did nothing for me. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't anoint my head. I'll just paraphrase, you didn't get me a cold drink of water. But this woman has come in and she's done everything. Why did she? Because she understands what grace is. When you understand what grace is, you have a thankful heart to God and you're thankful and you respond to Him. The third thing that Jesus teaches us here is this in my lives. Only God has the power to change lives. You see, in becoming a Matthew, we're not saying, God, okay, you're going to use me and we're going to change people. That's not it at all. In fact, if that's the approach to it, it won't happen. It won't be positive. It won't be good. You'll feel like an utter failure. But if you say, God, you change lives, but use me as you want to touch the life of someone around me, then God can use you in order to touch someone's life. God alone can change lives. He alone, we know, can forgive sins. And Simon needed to understand that too. He alone can forgive. He alone can change lives. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to this woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. God's role is to change lives. What's our role? Our role is to bring people to Jesus. It's to bring people in love and compassion and care and time to the place that they can see the hand of a loving God. You know, when we bring people to the place that they can see God's grace, then they'll respond to God's grace and God will change them. That's the call. That's the challenge on our church and on God's people, is to be willing to bring people to Jesus with the love and the compassion that He gives us in our lives. Would you stand, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful this morning for these stories that we've read the last few weeks of compassion and how Jesus sees people. I pray that we would have eyes to see the needs of people around us, that we would have a compassion to love people, that we would see them as Jesus did, and that we would learn from these stories, Lord. We're thankful that you don't give up on people like we might tend to sometimes, but you love and you reach out and you have a message of hope and grace and forgiveness for all those who will turn to you. I pray that we would never forget that great love and the great mercy and that great forgiveness that we have in you. Help us, God, to see people like you do. Help us to have compassion. Help us, God, to be patient. Help us to look for opportunities to show love and care in a practical way at work and in our families and at school and anyone that we have influence over, that we will see that as an opportunity to show the hands and the feet and the love of Jesus, I pray. Thank you for these stories. Help us, God, to be witnesses of your love and your grace and the way that we live and the way that we treat people, I pray. We pray as Billy Graham has challenged us to, may we pray for America. May God, we have a strong desire to see people come to faith in you, and help us to know how to do that, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today.